So we are holding on Tzadik Vav Omer Aleph about a third of the way down the Omer Balanagans or Time. Okay, we started a discussion yesterday as follows. The Mishnah told us about a case of wine that's starting to become sour as far as the name of Menka. That led us into a discussion of wine like that that's just beginning to become sour. What's the bracha on it? Is it Hagofen, because it's still considered wine, or does it get downgraded to Shakol? We had a machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chista on it. Rabbi asked Rabbi Yosef, what's the bottom line? Who's the halacha like? So Rabbi Yosef starts telling him there's a braisa that bears on this. Namely, we said that you had a case where you had a barrel of wine, which you're intending to use as truma on behalf of other barrels of wine. So you start by the Rashbam explaining that you taste it a little bit in order to taste it. It itself is tevel. So what you do is you take a little bit of it out. You take truma and maaser out of that little bit so that you can validly drink it. You take a little taste of it. You see that it's still good, so you assume everything else in the barrel is still good. And then you use the rest of it it's still tevel. You gradually designate it as truma on behalf of the other barrels. So every time you open up one of the other barrels, you designate some of the truma, the truma and maaser of it is going to be in the barrel. Eventually the barrel is all truma, and you give it to the kohenim, and everything is good.
Oh, for each new barrel?
For each new barrel, you designate, yeah. Yeah. Right. It doesn't have to be for each new, whatever, each time you buy a new barrel, whatever it is, yeah. Now, the problem is, what happens eventually, you open up the barrel and you find that it became vinegar. Oh. So now we learned in the previous parak, actually, we had a machloikas Rebbe and the Chachamim, can you bechlau give truma from vinegar on behalf of wine, or vice versa? Rebbe said no. The Chachamim said, b'chatzchila, you're not supposed to do that. But yeah, but you did that, fine, what's done is done. The question would be over here, the Rashbam says, primarily according to Rebbe, then, given that it's not valid truma, then what's the story? How long can we assume, given that you tasted it at the beginning and you found it's wine, on the other hand, you're tasting it now, and you find that it's vinegar, at what point can you assume that it changed? So we said, the Braisa said that all 3 days is the badai, and then it's sub. So what do you mean? Do you mean the first 3 days, or do you mean the last 3 days? So we started saying yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan said what it means is like this. The first 3 days after you tasted it, you can assume, Tosfos, by the way, says it didn't necessarily have to be that you tasted it, could be that you smelled it, whatever. For those first 3 days after it, Rabbi Yochanan says, you can assume that it was still wine. It may have started to turn during that time, but basically it's still wine. As, because, he says, that the wine starts going bad from the top down. Like this, you taste it, or smell the corn toast at the top of it, and it didn't smell off, or it didn't taste off. Therefore, it must have been good at that. It must have been good at that point, or was already starting to turn bad. You would have tasted it right there at the top. Therefore, and the point is, you might even have that at that point, let's say that it was already starting to smell like vinegar, wouldn't matter. The taste, your Yochanan says, is the important thing. Since it tasted like wine at the time, then you're good.
Even if it smelled.
Even if it started to smell like vinegar. As long as it tastes like wine, it's still considered wine. Sometimes they'd punch a hole in the bottom of it and install a faucet, yeah. But apparently, usually, the more usual thing would be like over here, you take off the lid and take a little bit off the top. Or sometimes we also find, the Gemara Avodah Zarah talks about sometimes they'd make a hole in the lid and use a straw to suck out some of it. I guess they had different ways of doing it, I guess. Okay, so that was opinion number one. Rabbi Shurban Levi, Omar, Rabbi Shurban Levi says, it's about a third of the way down, Tzadik Vav Amar Aleph, line begins with time, eh? Rabbi Shurban Levi says, no, what the Braisa means is on the contrary, called Gimel Yom HaChronim Vadei Chomet, just the opposite. It means the last 3 days before now you opened it and discovered that it's vinegar, you have to assume that those last 3 days it was already definitely vinegar, meaning that it wasn't good truma during those, any truma that you designated on behalf of any barrel during that time won't have been good. Again, according to Rebbe, that you can't use vinegar on behalf of wine. According to Chachamim, b'dieved, fine, okay, it would be okay, but yeah. So, in other words, anything that you designated it as truma on behalf of would still be tevel, because it wasn't wine anymore, it was still vinegar. It was vinegar already in those 3 days. Mikano lahalam sofik. Anything before that, though, is a sofik. In other words, Rabbi Shurban Levi says, you tasted it on Rosh Chodesh Nissen, and then the next time you checked it as Rosh Chodesh Iyar and found it vinegar, it means the last 3 days of Nissen, it was definitely vinegar. But all the way back to Rosh Chodesh Nissen, now you're going to have a suffix. You tasted it on Rosh Chodesh Nissen, it was fine. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was starting to turn already then. And therefore, the last 3 days, the Vaday that it was going to go. The rest of the days from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, it's a Sopet. And therefore, any Truma that
even
you took,
at the beginning.
Even at the beginning. So the you tasted it, but then write why. Now, why is that? Why timer? Chamrim Tatoy Okar. Because Rabbi Shur ben Levi says wine starts spoiling from the bottom up. Not like Rabbi Yechanan from top down, but from the bottom up. The Ema Okar Velavadaita. Exactly. It may have started already turning, and you won't know because you tasted from the top. The or even if you're going to argue that maybe it does pack a spoil from the top, not from the bottom, and you're going to say, well, you tasted it and it wasn't bad, still maybe after you tasted it, it started turning, and that would mean at the time when you tasted it, the smell may have already been the smell of vinegar, even though the taste was still the taste of wine. And Rabbi Shur ben Levi holds Rechei Chala, V'Taimei Chamra Chala, and he holds not like the opposite of Rabbi Yechanan, that if it tastes like wine, if it smells like vinegar, even though it still tastes like wine, it's already considered vinegar. It's already no good. It's already considered vinegar. He says that the smell is the most important thing. Which, by the way, Tosafot takes up the point according to Rabbi Shur ben Levi. Why even does the Gemara have to bring in the whole question of whether it spoils from the top down or from the bottom up? In Rabbi Shur ben Levi himself was saying that we could go either way. Why does the Gemara have to bother bringing in the question of whether he argues what direction it spoils from?
Okay. Because that has to do
with... No, because it doesn't. Because he said even if it spoils from the top down, still at that point it had a smell of vinegar but a taste of wine, and therefore...
Because if it's the top you would smell, but if it doesn't...
No, but if you hold that it starts spoiling from the top, but nevertheless he tasted it, he found it okay, but we didn't say anything about the smell. The fact that it already started spoiling after that may indicate that at that time it had the smell of vinegar and just he didn't notice. He was focusing on the taste.
Well, there's two things here. One thing is what comes first, the taste or the smell?
No, it's not a question. No. Usually when wine spoils, first the smell will go and then the taste.
That's when it's on the top.
Doesn't matter what top or bottom. Anyway, Tosafot says that it's true. The Gemara didn't have to bring in that point. It's just that is indeed how it is. Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Taka holds that way, that it spoils from the bottom up, and therefore the Gemara wanted to bring in that point, even though it's not really as relevant to the discussion that we're having over here. The fact is, Rabbi Shur ben Levi holds that that's how it does, and therefore the Gemara wanted to bring in that point.
Because
not relevant, because we said that either way, even if it spoils from the, whether it spoils from the top down or from the bottom up, if you say it spoils from the bottom up, which is the Gemara's first assumption of Rabbi Shur ben Levi, fine, I mean, the top still tasted good, and therefore he didn't realize that it's already starting to spoil from the bottom. He's meanwhile designating part of it as truma, and that's no good, because it's already spoiling on the bottom. Or even if it spoils from the top, wouldn't mean yet that it tastes the vinegar. Obviously, if it tastes the vinegar, he would have noticed it. All it would mean on the top, all it means is it smells of vinegar. And Rabbi Shur ben Levi would say, once it smells of vinegar, that's already enough to make it possible.
Either scenario, it smells of vinegar.
Just in the one case, you know it because it's on the top, and in the other case, you don't even have a way of knowing it because it's on the bottom.
Either way,
we're saying that he tasted it.
No, that I understand.
Okay, so then.
But if, according to Rabbi Yeshua, maybe it's possible when it's here.
When it's smelling of vinegar, yeah.
Right, so if it smells at the bottom, if you turn the barrel around.
If you turned it around, then you would notice, but you're not going to. Because usually you just have the barrel in place and you open up the top of it.
Maybe it could depend
why it spoils. Could depend whether it's spoiling because of bacteria or because of mold. I don't know. You could tell
if it's still going from bottom up.
If you mix it, but if you're not going to, okay. We're gonna see soon in the Gemara anyway that mixing wine or shaking it up or whatever causes it to spoil faster. So generally, you wouldn't want to do that anyway. Okay, onward. Now we have a third opinion. Droimoi, the Chachamim of the Doroim of the south of Eretz Yisrael, Masnu Mishmei de Rabbi Shur ben Levi. They taught in the name of Rabbi Shur ben Levi a different understanding of the Braisa. That when the Braisa says Kol Gimel Yomim all 3 days, it means Rishonim Vada Yayin. It means it's kind of a combination of Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shur ben Levi's positions. The first 3 days is definitely wine. Achronim Vada Chemes. The last 3 days before you open it up again is definitely vinegar. and found it to be vinegar, it's definitely vinegar. So in our scenario, you open it up, Rosh Chodesh Nissen, Aleph Beis Gimel Nissen, it's definitely still good. Any truma you designated in it during that time, no problem. That wine is no longer tevel. On the other hand, any truma you designated from it, Chofes Lamed Nissen, is definitely no good, because at that point already it was vinegar. The question is all that period between. Between the first 3 days and the last 3 days.
If it's a vaday,
it's vaday initially.
Vinegar afterwards, is it valid?
No, that's what we're saying. During those 24 days, 25 days, whatever, from Gimel Nissen until Chofes Nissen, you have a suffix. It's a suffix, was it valid truma or not? Meaning you have to assume on the one hand that it was truma in the sense Zorim can't drink it. On the other hand, you can't say for sure that the wine on behalf of which you took it as truma has validly had truma taken for it. You're gonna have to take other wine, good wine, and designate it as truma on behalf of that. That's what we're saying. During that period, the first 3 days, the Dvarim are saying, you know for sure, the fact that originally you tasted and it tasted like wine implies that during those first 3 days, you can assume it was still wine. If it became vinegar during those 3 days, it would have already started tasting vinegary at the beginning, and it didn't. On the other hand, the last 3 days, given that you opened it up now and found it to be vinegar, you have to assume that it's already been vinegar for 3 days. As the Gemara is going to say in a second, we're talking about with strong vinegar already. The days in between is a suffix. So the question is,
usually designated truma.
Throughout the month, you're designating bits of it as truma as you're going along. Today, I'm designating a gallon of it as truma. Tomorrow, another gallon, et cetera, until the whole thing is truma, and then you give it to the kohen. So the question is, hog go for kasha. Well, then there's a contradiction in what the Dvarim are saying. Amrit Rishonim Vada Yayin. You say in the first 3 days, it's definitely wine. Which implies, therefore, that if you have a time when it smells like vinegar but it still tastes like wine, then it's considered wine, because that's what we're saying. Those first 3 days, it may already smell like vinegar, but you're not focusing on the smell; you're focusing on the taste, and it still tasted like wine.
Well, that's according to.
But that's what we're saying. The fact that that's what we're trying to figure out. What are the Dvarim? The Dvarim seem to be contradicting themselves. If you say that you go according to the taste, and it still has the taste of wine, then it's good. Which is like Rabbi Yochanan, which means that if it smells like vinegar but has the taste of wine, it's considered wine. That fits according to Rabbi Yochanan. V'hoder amrit, but then you say achroinim vade chaymet, during the last 3 days, it's definitely vinegar. Meaning, in other words, because you opened it up at the end and found it to taste like vinegar, you have to assume that for at least three days before that, it's already been smelling like vinegar, and therefore that's no good. And you're saying it's definitely no good. Which implies that if it reaches the point where it starts smelling like vinegar, even though it still tastes like wine, 3 days before, then it's considered vinegar, which is like Rabbi Shoban Levi.
Right.
So what is it? Do you go according to the taste? Do you go according to the smell? Rabbi Yochanan is going strictly according to the taste. Rabbi Shoban Levi is going strictly according to the smell. What are the Dremai hold? They can't contradict themselves like that. No, the answer is you're going to ishtaka chala siptika. No, but the case that they're talking about is specifically you opened it up and you found that it's very strong vinegar.
Oh.
The definition of strong vinegar in halacha for this purpose, by the way, is it's so strong that if you pour it on the ground, it bubbles. That's considered, it comes up in other contexts also. In Hilchos Brachos, for example, if you have, which we started talking over here about what bracha you start making on wine that's starting to turn, whether you still say hagafen or whether you say shakol on it. But in Shulchan Aruch it says, if it got to the point already where it bubbles when you pour it on the ground, then it's definitely not something that's really for a normal person to drink. And then therefore you would say shakol on it.
And if it's champagne?
If it's champagne, I don't know.
We're not talking about the kind of bubbling
that it does because it's vinegary, not because it's a sparkling
wine. You
would
say charcoal on drinking vinegar like that?
No, actually, if I remember, no, come to think of it, no. It says in Shulchan Aruch, no, I'm sorry. If it bubbles like that, you wouldn't say bracha on it at all because it's harmful. If you dilute it with water and then it's drinkable, then you would say charcoal on it. Okay. All right, so what's therefore the point in our case if we're saying that it's strong vinegar? The lavda ochet plus the yomi. If it hadn't been that for 3 days already, it became vinegar. Like having a stack of chalav siptika, it wouldn't have become such strong vinegar. In other words, if it only yes we In other words, yeah, not necessarily. During the last 3 days, if you find it as strong vinegar, it means inevitably at least 3 days ago it started turning to actual vinegar, taste-wise, and the dilemma you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that you go according to the taste. If it's weak vinegar, then you can say, okay, not necessarily. It may have only started turning into actual into the taste of vinegar within the last day or two or so, and then you'd still have the same sophist like Rabbi Yochanan said. Okay. The bottom line is that we have 3 different ways of explaining the Braita. So now the question, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shulam Levi, and the Dremoi. Yeah. So the question is, when we said at the beginning of the studio, when we said yesterday that Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, who is the halacha like as far as this wine starting to spoil, do you say Hagofen or Shakol on it? And Rabbi Yosef says, I'll tell you a Braita. Well, we have 3 different ways of understanding the Braita. Kaman Poshet like. According to which of these 3 opinions did Rabbi Yosef answer Abaya? Which would affect the halacha. If you say the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, then it would mean that in the case of here of this wine, Yainam and Hanimka Bachanus, this wine which is sold in stores, which is the type already that's starting to smell of vinegar even though it still tastes of wine. If you say like Rabbi Yochanan, you'd still say Agapan on it. If you go like Rabbi Shimon Levi, that you go according to the smell, you'd say Shakol. And if you go like the Dudanoi, who also say you go according to the taste, then you'd also say Agapan. So which like Rabbi Yochanan, yeah. So, Pligi bar Rav Mori v'Rav Zvid. So Rav Mori and Rav Zvid later Amaroyim argue which one he explained according to. Chad Amak Rav Yechanan v'chad Amak Rav Yishor ben Leib. One says that he explained to him the Braisa the way Rav Yechanan explains it, and the other the way Rav Yishor ben Leib explains it. Which Mepharshim say, what it means is, in other words, Rav Mori and Rav Zvid themselves said, I think the Ritva says this, that since Rabbi Yosef himself is not being clear on what he said, fine, Rabbi Mori held like Rabbi Yochanan, one of them, between Rabbi Mori and Zvid, one of them held like Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore he held, that must have been the answer Rabbi Yosef gave. The other one held like Rabbi Yishor ben Levi, and therefore he holds that's the answer Rabbi Yosef must have given that we don't have clearly what Rabbi Yosef said.
What does it have to be discussion?
Sir? Well, it tells us that we said.
We know that they
we don't know.
To go by either...
That's the point. We don't know which one Rabbi Yosef himself said, so we have a machlokes. Which one did he mean? Now, what's the bottom line halacha? Yes. Well, the Rashbam says, first of all, you have the fact that you have... Now, on the one hand, you have Rabbi Yishor ben Levi is Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. You have a usual rule that you don't pass him like a Talmud against his Rebbe, at least in the earlier generations of Amaroi. On that basis, it ought to be like Rabbi Yishor ben Levi. However, first of all, we have the Dremoi, who agree with Rabbi Yochanan, against the first version of Yishor ben Levi, so we have 2 against 1. Second of all, we also have Rava in a different Gemara in Avodah Zarah, who also agrees with Rabbi Yochanan, that the main thing is the taste, not the smell. Therefore, that's the halacha. As far as the halacha of brachas, that you go according to the taste, not according to the smell. It's also negeya as far as the halachas of kiddush. We're going to learn tomorrow about what kind of wine you're allowed to use for kiddush. You have a similar kind of thing. You're supposed to use the best wine you have for kiddush. You're not supposed to use stuff like this that's starting to spoil. But if all that's all you have available, as long as it tastes
that's
like wine, then it's
well,
here we're talking about brachas. There's not a halacha tchila or b'diavad versus brachas. Either you're going to say hagafen on it, or you're going to say shakol.
So
when it comes to kiddush,
you're going to help them.
No, that's for kiddush. It's 2 different things. There's brachas and there's kiddush. Right. For brachas, it's not a halacha tchila or b'diavad thing. The bottom line is the halacha is you say hagafen. For kiddush, we go like Rabbi Yochanan. For kiddush, we're saying that it is acceptable for kiddush. However, as the Gemara will tell us tomorrow, hakriveu nola pechasecha, it's not appropriate to use something that's not really good quality for the Eibishter, and therefore it's not appropriate to use it for kiddush if you have something better available. But if not, then it is.
Who did it
The Dermai were the Chachamim of the Dorim of the south of Eretz Israel. I don't know.
They were not.
They were Amaroyim, yeah. They were Amaroyim, yeah. Okay. Amud. Itman. We have another discussion now. If somebody sells a barrel of wine to somebody else and it spoiled, it became vinegar. The Rashbam explains we're talking about it still in the same barrel that the guy sold it to him. Different other Rishonim talk about that actually no, what we're talking about is that it was poured, that it was poured into the Lekeach bag. Anyway, it spoiled. What happens like this? If it's spoiled within the first 3 days, then it's still considered to be in the reshus of the seller. Because since it takes at least 3 days for wine to spoil, as we've just been saying, then obviously, it has to be. If you found now, you opened it up and found that it's vinegar within 3 days of buying it, it must have already started spoiling while it was still by the seller. Well, so it amounts to that the guy sold you vinegar. So it's a mechach tos. And by the way, the Rashbam says, and Tosfos also talks about it, even let's say, so, I mean, a lot of times when you buy a barrel of wine, you taste a little bit of it first. Why don't we say, so the guy tasted it, he didn't find anything wrong. Why don't you, the Moser, have the ability to say to him, well, tough luck, you tasted it, you didn't find anything wrong. No, okay, see, I didn't notice that it had an oil. That doesn't take away my ability to say. The fact is, it's spoiled within 3 days. It obviously must have happened in Europe. No, we're talking about it still. When we know that it's still, again, according to the Rashbam, it's still in the same barrel anyway. But even according to the Rishonim, we said that it's talking about he poured it into another barrel. No, we're talking about, we know he didn't mix it with other wine. Okay. Also, by the way, the Rashbam points out the Kiddush of what we're saying over here, one single barrel of wine. We talked yesterday about the question of are you buying it for long-term storage, are you buying it for short-term cooking or whatever. You're buying one barrel of wine. You would think maybe it's for short-term. The guy should be able to say, well, so it was starting to spoil. So you could have drank it during these 3 days. No, we don't say that. That's what Rav says. Ushmuel Amar, but Shmuel says, Chamra akasve demore shavar. Shmuel says no, the seller is not chayev to repay him for it because wine spoiled on the back or on the shoulder. Wine literally chamra agat akas v'demore shavar means wine jumps on the shoulder of its owner. Yes. What does that say? Before you let me ask you a question. Let me explain what the Gemara is saying first. Shmuel says like this. So the Rashbam explains Shmuel to be saying like this. Wine spoiled depending on a person's maisik. We'll learn later on. The Gemara is going to talk about on Daf Tzadik Ches such a concept that you have a Baal Gaiva, for example, his wine may spoil faster than expected. So therefore, so this person, he bought this barrel of wine. It spoiled within even 3 days. The seller can argue to him, it's your fault, your mazel, your meisim or whatever. I'm not responsible. Now, the Rashbam says that he learned this from Rashi, and he says it's also in the Tribus Agonim. However, Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim argue with that on various grounds, one of them being that in that case, the Gemara is using a rather odd expression for it. The Gemara could have just said, Mazol Egorah, which is the usual expression for Lasadi Day or whatever. Those are the usual expressions that the Gemara uses for just saying that it was his Mazol. Or the Gemara could have brought in the Drosha from the Pasuk that we're going to bring later on Daf Tzadik Ches on this concept. Why is the Gemara using this odd expression, Chamra Akas V'Demora Shavar, which leads them, therefore, to explain that what we mean is, wine spoils more rapidly when it's moved around.
Right.
So either if we're talking about that it was actually poured into another barrel, the pouring it into another barrel may have accelerated the spoilage, or even we're talking about it's in the same barrel, like the Rashbam said, fine, you didn't have to carry it by yourself to your house. You could have, for example, left it by me and just come every time you want to take some, just leave it over here. Or another possibility, which you're showing him talk about, you don't have to take it all by yourself. You could have had two people carry it, in which case they carry it much slower. It gets sloshed around a lot less in the barrel. Therefore, two people carrying it have to carry it slowly so they don't trip and break it. Therefore, that wouldn't cause it to spoil.
It's much steadier because when it's on your shoulder, it's right connected to your shoulder.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, as opposed to
two people, they've got all the leverage of their arms. Cushioning it.
So that's the bottom line then. So Rav is saying that the seller is responsible if it was within 3 days, and Shmuel says that based on one or another of these considerations, the Moshe can say it was your fault, I'm not responsible. Okay. Rav Yosef, one time passed in an actual case, like Rav when it came to beer, where it spoiled within 3 days and he made the seller pay him for it. It became sour, whatever. Beer goes off. I don't know. I don't like beer. I have no idea what it tastes like. As far as I'm concerned, even when it's fresh, it tastes sour. But whatever. Those who like it, I guess there's a difference. You know? Yeah. Because say the Shmuel b'chamra, and he passed him like Shmuel when it came to wine. So some of the Rishonim say that actually Shmuel himself might agree with Rav when it comes to wine. According to the Rashbam's point, that the point is wine spoils depending on the meisim of the owner, that may only apply to wine. The pasuk that we're going to darshan later on Daf Tzadik Ches about that refers specifically to wine. So Shmuel might agree that when it comes to beer or other liquids, maybe it's different. Many other Rishonim say that not, that Shmuel would actually disagree on beer as well, but. The Hilchos HaKavaseh say to Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel. Which again, though, we do accept the idea, the halacha, that Shmuel is only arguing with Rav when it comes to wine, similar to what the Rashbam would say. Meaning, therefore, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to wine, then we'd say, like Shmuel, it's your fault, you poured it into your kalim, or you sloshed it around too much or whatever, therefore I'm not responsible. When it comes to beer, which isn't as sensitive, then we say that then we say the seller is responsible if it's spoiled within 3 days. Okay. Now getting back to the halachos of brach. Turn it up on him. Echad sheicha tamarim, regardless whether we're talking about beer made out of dates, the echad sheicha sa'orim, or beer made out of barley, which is the typical kind of beer that we have nowadays, the echad shimre yayin, or dregs of wine, which is that you take the dregs and you pour water over it, which the Gemara is going to be discussing in the next sugya now, and you get sort of a very dilute wine out of them, out of the remaining grape juice that's still in the dregs over there, comes out into the water. All those things, you say shakol on them. Meaning, in other words, the point is, you don't say, even though they're made out of dates, you should say ha'etz on it. You don't say, even though it's made out of barley, you should say ha'adama or mazoinas on it. No, they're not considered choshev enough. Tosfos expands on it a little bit. When it comes to barley, for example, if the barley was made into bread, which is the best possible, the general rule in Hilchos Brachos is, you make the highest possible bracha on something if it's made into the best possible thing. If it's made into something less than that, then it's a downgraded a bracha. So, for example, here with barley, if you were to eat barley raw, that's not a normal thing to do. You would say hadama. It gets upgraded to its maximum bracha, which is mezonos or amotzi. If you make bread or mezonos or whatever out of it, if you have cooked barley like in a cholent, then you have to say hadama on it. And if you make it into beer, which is even less important than that, then it goes all the way down to shakol.
You know, of course, there's a machlekes on that. Whether you say mezonos or adama on barley, the altar ever adama. I think.
I'm pretty sure everybody says that if it's cooked barley, you say adama. I don't think anybody says that cooked barley, you say mezonos. Maybe it's mitek day, or I don't know if it's made into like fireball or whatever. But okay, well, I'm talking about like if it's made in there, like it's barley and shoulder. I don't know. I'm not sure. So mezonos, yeah. If you make, for example, cookies or if you make a cookie or cake
or
cake
or
whatever.
Nice,
yeah, okay. All those things you say shakol. Acherim omrim, the acherim say, which usually refers to the mayor. Shmorim sheyesh behem tam yayin, if you have the dregs and have the taste of wine in them, and you poured water on them to make what's good. So the liquid that you get out of such a thing is called temen, by the way. When you take the dregs and you pour water on it, and then it gets the flavor of wine in it, that liquid is called temen. Temed. In English, there's a word for it. I don't know. It's not common. But for example, actually, in the Mishnayos that you learn by a Yortzeit during your Bischodesh or whatever, you have a couple of times it mentions temed over there about temed actually hechmet in connection with how much what liquids can't be used to fill up a mikveh. You have one or two other places in that parish over there where it mentions temed. Temed falls into a mikveh and changes the color. Is that considered a temed? Is this liquid that you take the dregs of wine. You pour water on it, and the water absorbs some of the grape juice, some of the remaining taste and color of the grape juice that was in there, and then you filter it out.
Remnants
of anything. I mean, what else are you going to do? No. In general, most fruit juices in halacha are not considered to have any significance anyway. They're basically just considered like water. They are shakal anyway. Only they don't have the din of mashkim as far as tumah, for example. Only wine and oil are considered; they have a unique status in halacha. So when we talk about kemed, we're talking about the remains from making wine.
So liquor is always shakal.
Yes. Okay. So acherim, shmarim sheyesh bam tam yain. The acherim say that if these dregs have the taste of wine, mevarach alein bari pri hagafen, then you would make hagafen on the wine, on the water, on the dilute wine that you get out of them. Wait. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef dami tavayu in halacha kacherim. So okay, to start with, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say the halacha is not like the acherim. Which okay, the mefoshim asks what's the chiddush about? Of course, why would we think to go like acherim against the Tanakhama? And the reason is because after all, this water does have the flavor and the color of wine in it. You would think maybe it should be considered wine. No, we don't say that. However, we're going to qualify that now. Amar Rava, dekulei alma. Everybody would agree like this. Rama tlos of asaba. If you poured in, let's say, 3 cups of water, you took these dregs, you poured 3 cups of water into them. But asaba, and then afterwards you take out the liquid that you got, you filter it out to get the dregs out, and you find you have 4 cups worth of liquid. Chamru, then it's definitely considered wine. So then in that, so even the chachamim of this brayso would agree that that's considered wine, and you would say I got.
You poured three, and
you poured three, and you got out four. Because then it means you got one quarter of the mixture. One quarter of the mixture is what came out of these dregs. In that case, that's significant enough. You have one part wine or grape juice, whatever, and three parts water. That's good enough to be considered wine.
And if you pour four cups and you take one extra?
It has to be, the proportion has to be three to four. Three, yeah. And the reason is because Rava said, Rava says any wine that's not diluted with three parts of water, lav chamra, is not considered wine. And the Gemara mentions in other places, actually, Rava himself used to pour much more water into his wine. Most people, Tosfos also talks about it over here, but many, many other people in those days were diluted in a ratio of one part wine to two parts water. Rava used to do one to three. Still, though, Tosfos talks about that maybe it's only certain kinds of wine that we need one to two versus one to three. Whatever. The bottom line is that if you have like this mixture is three parts water, but at least one part of it is wine, and it has the color and the flavor of wine, that's enough for it to be considered wine lava.
And two and one is not.
Two and one is more, because then you have one out of three is more than one out of four.
I think if you use
it's also wine.
So it's also wine, yeah.
Our wine. You won't be able to make a bracha if it's more than 50%.
Okay, so all wines is a little bit different. Now, the based on the next piece of Gemara that we're going to talk about over here that Amar talks about in Shulchan Aruch, if the mixture is less than 1/6 wine, then it's definitely not considered wine at all, and you can't make a gaffin on it, and you can't use it for kiddush, etc. Five cups of water for every one cup of wine. If it's less dilute than that, then it's a bit of a suffix. You shouldn't use it. I think the halacha is you're not supposed to use it for kiddush, but again, b'dieved, if you did, then it would be even... You would measure. So modern day wines usually have a certain amount of water mixed into them. If you look at every year in Blumenkrantz's Pesach guide, he has a detailed description over there of what kind of wine have water added, don't have water added. Because Negea, as far as if you want to know, if you want to dilute it for
Dalakos.
All wines, some of them have water. There is a separate argument in that. No. 12% is because they stop the fermentation after a certain period. They let it ferment until it reaches 5 or 6 or 12 or whatever percent alcohol, and then they kill off and then they pasteurize it to kill off the yeast. That has nothing to do with adding water. We're talking about, do they add water, which that's a different discussion also. Are we talking about only they added water after it finished fermenting, or are we talking about what if they add water during the fermentation process? Does that count or not? Okay, whatever. Those are other issues.
And also, their wine was...
much stronger. That's the whole point why they had to dilute it, right?
So how do we know?
So you have to find out. There's a whole different thing. But the bottom line is, Rava is saying that wine has to be at least 25% wine. The other 75% can be water. Otherwise, it's not considered wine. So therefore, so even the Tana Kama would agree that kind of temet is considered wine. On the other hand, Rama tlasa v'asa tlasa, but if you poured in three cups of water and all you got out was three cups, v'loy klumu, then that's nothing. Even if it has the color, even if it has a bit of the color of the wine and a bit of the flavor of the wine, that's not considered anything significant. That's just, the Gemara is going to call it later, kiuha v'alma. It's just like a little bit of an off taste or whatever. It's not considered anything significant. It would still be considered water.
Well, that's obvious.
No. Ki pligi, the machloikas between the Chachamim and the Acherim, the Rama tlasa v'asa tlasa of Kauga. If he put in three cups of wine, three cups of water, and he got out three and a half cups. That's where the Rama gets his 1/6, by the way. So, the Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold like this. Tlasa ayo, tlasa nafik. You have to figure like this. You put in three, you got out three. The same three that you put in, the same three cups of water that you put in, is the same three that you got out. Poshle Kauga, so all you got is a half out of the lees, out of the dregs, or Kauga Bashita Kauga Maya Veloy Kumbu, and you get a half a cup out of six half cups, a ratio of 1/6 is nothing. That's the point. In other words, so here we have only one, what we're saying over here is only 1/7 of the mixture is wine, the other 6/7 of it is water. That's where the Ramah is getting his figure of 1/6 is the minimum for it to be considered wine. Because you have Rishonim who say, when we said at the beginning, 3 to 4, maybe it doesn't necessarily mean 3 to 4. Since the Gemara is mentioning that you're 3 and a half, maybe it means 3 and a half is not good enough, but maybe, for example, 3 3/4 would be fine. Okay. Anyway. So that's what the Chacham is. The Acherim Sabri, whereas the Acherim holds, Tlasa Ol, you have to consider like this. Yes, you put in three cups of water, Tauchin, Trein, or Pauga, nothing, but you have to figure, not necessarily all the water that you put in is literally all the same water that came out. Not necessarily. Inevitably, some of it will have been absorbed into the dregs, and some other liquid that was in the dregs will have come out. So, Trein, or Pauga, nothing, so you have to figure 2.5 cups of what you got out is the original two and a half of the original three cups you put in. Partially kuza, you have one cup that came out, one cup worth of grape juice that came out of the dregs. Vakuza, but today pago, chamramalyu, one cup of wine to two and a half cups of water is perfectly good wine. That's within the ratio that Rava said. So that's
two and a half is not three.
No, one to two and a half. That's even better than one to three. Mm. Yeah. So therefore, so that's the machlokes, in other words. There is, by the way, also Rishonim point out that Ramban and the Rashba, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. There's a difference also. Are we talking about dregs, like just the stuff that sinks to the bottom of the bottle of wine, or are we talking about what if you make temed using the actual grape skins or peels or kernels or whatever, which actually contain actual grape juice still in them? Then we would say lesser figures than these, because then you have actual grape juice in there, and therefore we can accept so even a greater. Well, that's what the Ramah is saying about one in six.
Dry.
So here we're talking about it's like dry dregs that are at the bottom of the barrel. There may be a little bit of something in them, but not really much, as opposed to the actual grape skins or grape seeds or whatever contain actual grape juice in them. Okay. Fine. Question is, so you're telling me then that the Chachamim and the Acherim are arguing specifically on the case where you got more temed out than you put in water into the original mixture, because that's what we said, that even the Acherim would agree, you poured in three and you took out three, even if it has a color or a flavor or whatever, it wouldn't count for anything. But what we learn in a Mishnah, in Masechet Maaseros, Hamatamed, if somebody makes temed, again like this, where he takes the dregs and pours water over them, but nothing maimamid, he put a certain measure of water, let's say three cups, like we said, or matzakademi dafte, and he finds exactly as much as he put in, potter, then that kind of stuff would be potter from meiser.
There has to be wine.
Of course there has to be wine, but the point is, in other words, we're saying he found exactly as much as he got in, it's potter from meiser, however, Rabbi Yehuda machayev. But Rabbi Yehuda says it's chayev and meiser. So therefore, well, that's the question. Ad kan lepligi ala b'kademi dosa. On the face of it, they're only arguing, you poured in three cups, you got exactly three cups. And even so, Rabbi Yehuda is still making it chayiv and meiser, because he says, because it has a flavor of wine in it. Ava b'yosim b'kademi dosa lepligi. On the face of it, if it's great, if you get more out than you put in, everybody would agree, even the Chachamim of this Mishnah, would agree that it's Chayev and Meiser, which would be like the Acherim before. So if we say that the Acherim and the Chachamim agree that only if you get more out, if we say that they agree as long as you get something more out than you put in, then it's Chayev, then it's considered wine and you make Baruch Yagof on it, fine, and that's consistent with here. But if you're telling me the Chachamim over there are saying you have to get out at least four cups of wine, or maybe three and three quarters, whatever, according to the other Mepharshim, whatever, but more than three and a half for the three you put in, then why over here are we saying that only you got the middah, then it's potter, but implying that if you got any more than your middah, any more than the amount of water you put in, you'd be chayev? Why? That would be like the acherim. That would be like the acherim. That wouldn't be like the chachamim. The answer is no. No, actually, you could say that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda in this Mishnah are arguing even when you got out more than you put in. So you did get out, you got out a little more. You got out not four, as we said before, but you got out three and a half, let's say, like we were just saying. The reason why the Mishnah puts their argument in terms of you got only exactly as much as you put in, that is just to tell you how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in being mechay. Now, we have a usual rule. A lot of times when the Gemara uses this expression, of somebody, usually the Gemara has an expression, we would rather show how far the one who's matir, the one who's mekel, is willing to go to be mekel. Here we're not doing that. Here we're going according to the one who's matir. The reason is that the Rashbam says because the Rabbanon, look, obviously if you get a little bit of wine mixed in a huge amount of water, obviously it's going to be bottled. There's no chiddush really in saying that. The chiddush is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Even though you have such a small amount of wine in there, you only have one-seventh, let's say, of the mixture is wine and six-sevenths of it is water, and still Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mechayev you. Yeah. which, by the way, the Mefarshim also get into the question. I mean, the fact is, if there is a tam over there, Tosfos discusses it, and other Rishonim also discuss it in various ways. If there is a tam, why should we think it's not chayiv and ma'aser? You're not allowed to. Usually, anything that's noisim tam is usually something that's chayiv and ma'aser. So Tosfos' answer is based on what the Gemara is going to say over here. That's not really, in this case, it's not really considered a tam at all. It's considered kuha ba'alma. It's just not considered a minor bit of flavor. It's not considered a serious tam. Or color or whatever. It's not considered anything really significant. One of the explanations, or Moshe Feinstein talks about it in a couple of his shuvas, he explains the vote is like this. Like we were saying before, in halacha, no other kind of juice is considered to have any significant status of its own. It's because the Tosfos describes it as what's called zeya ba'alma. It's called like something that exudes out of the fruit. Therefore, it's shakol. Only wine and oil have a special status in halacha. For as far as brachas, as far as a lot of other dinim. In this case, where it's so dilute, you can't even say it's considered wine at all. Well, if it's not considered wine at all, it's considered like any other fruit juice. Well, then the same ginim would apply to it as any other fruit juice. The fact that it's too dilute. Not only the fact that it's shahakol, but it's too dilute to have to be chayav in truma and maaser. Because only wine would have a din that's chayav in truma and maaser, but other kinds of fruit juices, especially when they're so dilute, would not. The tam of them is not considered to be significant.
What is it? Dilution or its taste?
That's what we're saying. It's so diluted. It's so diluted that even though it gives a little bit of a taste.
And it keeps the taste.
Doesn't matter.
And this
is why we
let people do the sherry bottle, the whiskey, and the sherry
bottle. Oh, is that the context? I didn't look up the context. Okay. You have sherry, isn't it? Sherry, the type of wine, is made in barrels that were previously used for yain nefta. So on what basis are you allowed to drink sherry? It's aged in such barrels. Yeah, it's based on that concept that it's so dilute that it's not considered to have, it's not considered to be wine in halacha. So even though it has a taste, that's the point. Even though it has a flavor, that flavor is not considered to be anything significant in halacha.
When is flavor considered?
In many cases it is, but generally speaking, when the thing still has its original, when it still has its original identity. Yeah. Here, the fact that it's so dilute means it loses its identity as wine.
I think you use the prima gutta.
So that it's not wine, therefore it's like any other
fruit. No, but it's not the taste; it's the dilution.
But because it's diluted, therefore, even though there's the taste, we ignore the taste. That's the point. That's the point. Because it's so diluted. Exactly what we're saying. Because it's so diluted, we ignore the fact that there is a taste here.
So what's the maximum dilution?
So we're saying if it's less than 1/6, then for example, as far as the dinim of Kiddush or Bar Priya Gofen, then it's not considered wine.
So less than 1/6.
What if the dregs have the taste of wine? What's the din as far, and you pour water over them? So now what about, we just had a braisa on that subject. So the Rashbam says he didn't hear of that braisa. Not always did the Damaroyim hear of all the braisas. All the Mishnayos had to know, not necessarily all the braisas. Or he may have still been asking, okay, bottom line, is the halacha like the Acherim or not? We have a braisa which has the opinion of the Acherim. Do we maybe accept it as halacha? Since after all, they have a logical thing over there. There is a taste of wine over here. Amalei, so he answers him, Misavret Chamrahu. You think that it's considered wine? Kiu Balmo, it's just considered a minor taste. It's just considered like a flavor, not even enough to be considered, not even considered enough to be a taste. Kiu Balmo, it's just like a sharpness, like there's a little bit of a tingle there, like, but not a real taste of wine. Which, by the way, Tosfos brings it. You were talking about it here about sherry casks. Ramosha Feinstein's Shuvah. Tosfos mentions a similar concept over here that if a goy takes a barrel and washes out the shimre yayin, the dregs of wine that are in there, then it's mutter. It's not considered because it's so dilute. It's not considered wine, and therefore the barrel doesn't become osir as having absorbed yayin nefes. Same idea. Turn it up on him. Shmorim shel truma. These same kind of thing, you have dregs of truma that you use to make temeg, you're pouring wine, you're pouring water over it, and you can repeat the process a few times. You pour water over it one time, and you drain off the water and filter it, and you have temeg number one, then you can repeat the process. You can repeat it a few times because you still have little amounts of grape juice left in the dregs over there that can be extracted out with the water. So if the dregs were from Truma, Rishon v'Sheni Osir, the first time or the second time, the first or the second temed is Osir for Zarim to eat, it's still considered Truma, or Shlishi Mutter, the third one. The third one is mutter already. The third one is not considered to have enough in it, even if it still has a taste of wine. At that point already, it's so dilute that we're not worried about it. Reb Meir, I'm actually she be nice in time. Reb Meir says no. Even the third one would be also if it still has a flavor of wine. Vishal Meister. What about if they came from Meister? And Meister, generally when we use the word Meister, unspecified throughout Shas, usually means Meister Sheni. Meister Rishon is cholin. You have to give it to a lady, but after that, anybody can eat it. So the Meister Sheni is the more stringent thing because it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, or you have to be poyder, you have to eat it for Tara, you got an oinon, can't eat it, etc. So when it comes to Meister, Rishon Osir Sheni Mutter. Then the first temed that's made with dregs of Meister Sheni would be Osir to eat outside Yerushalayim, but the second one already would be Mutter. We're more makel when it comes to Meister. So yeah, it's a little bit confusing because the word is the words in the Gemara here, Vishal Meister Rishon Osir, and you were thinking of Meister Rishon, but no, Vishal Meister Rishon Osir. Yeah, exactly. Vishal Hektish. What about if the dregs belonged to Hektish? Then Shlishi Osir Urvi Mutter. Then even the third time is Osir, the fourth time already will be Mutter. So far what you have is like this. Meister is the most lenient, the second time already, the second temet is already Mutter. Shuma, you go one stage beyond that, you need the third temet. For it to be mutter. When it comes to Hektish, you have to go all the way to the fourth one to be mutter. Reb Meir, I'm after Rabbi Yibin Oysen Tam. Reb Meir, I'm after Shane Yibin Oysen Tam. When it came to Meister, Reb Meir had the same argument. He said you have to go one further down. Rishal Hektish, Shlishi also Rabbi Mutter, Reb Meir, after Rabbi Yibin Oysen Tam. So same thing. Each one, Reb Meir is going down one further level than the Chacham do. Or a mini, but now I have a contradiction. You're telling me when it comes to Hektish, you said when it came to Hektish, the Chachamim hold the third, the Meir holds the fourth. When it came to Meister Sheni, we said the Chachamim hold the first, the Meir holds the second. But another Braita says, Shall Hektish la'olam oser? The temed of Hektish is always oser, even if it's the fourth, fifth, sixth, or whatever time. Vishal Meister la'olam mutter. And if it came from Meister, then it's always mutter. Kasha Hektish, a Hektish, Kasha Meister, a Meister. So you have a contradiction between the two Braises. What's the dinim of dreg? What's the dinim of dregs of Hektish? And what's the dinim of dregs of Meister? The answer is Hektish, a Hektish, loy Kasha. When it comes to Hektish, there's no contradiction. Kan B'Kdushas HaGuf, Kan B'Kdushas Domit. One is talking about where it had Kdushas HaGuf. For example, it was wine that was designated for Nesachim. So therefore, even the dregs of it are awesome. You still have bits of wine that was supposed to be from the Nesachim, so therefore forever. Everything, even if you did the third, fourth, fifth, or whatever, temed, it would still be awesome because it still contained some of the wine that was supposed to be from the Nesachim. As opposed to Kedushas Damim, where it's wine that you donated a barrel of wine to Bedek Abayis, where what the Gizborim will do is they'll sell that barrel of wine and use the money of it for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. There it only goes down to the third time or the fourth time according to the mayor. Actually, the Rashba and the Ritva talk about that maybe they say, fine, the Rashbam explained it this way, and we have to accept his explanation because he was greater than us, but they say we would think to explain the other way around, Adarabah. Kedushas Damim, you should be more stringent about it. It has a monetary value, after all. Even these dregs, okay, so you did three, four, whatever number, temed from it. You could find somebody to sell it to for a few more cents who can make a fifth or sixth or whatever temed of it. It's still money that could go to Bedek HaBayis. As opposed to Kedushas HaGuf, as opposed to Nesachim, once you pour it out, what you're supposed to do on the Mizbeach, you're not going to pour the dregs on the Mizbeach. Therefore, why should you be so machmer in them?
Okay. Who says that?
The Rashba and the Ritva say that.
Okay.
They say that's how they would explain the Gemara. They say that they would think to explain it the opposite of the way that Rashbam explained it. So that's when it comes to Hektish. Meister on Meister Nami Lakasha, and when it comes to Meister, there's also no contradiction because Kanva Meister Bade, Kanva Meister Dmai. One talking about where it's Meister Sheni, that is, of Badai, where you know that it was Tevel, then you have to be stringent at least the first Tevel and not drink it outside your Shalayim. As opposed to if it was Meister Sheni of Dmai, you anyway, as it is, you don't know for sure that you have to take Meister Sheni from it anyway. Most Dami artists do take Meister, do take proper Meisters after all. You're only doing the Meister Sheni as a Chumrah, like, not a Chumrah, I mean, it's a Takana of the Chachamim, but whatever. The point is, you're not doing it because you definitely have to do it. The whole concept of Dmai is only because of the Sopik. So therefore, we can be makel even the first Temed you're allowed to drink outside of your Shalayim.
The Sopik
is not strong enough to make it that even the first Temed should be also outside of your Shalayim. Amr Rav Yechonon Meshum Rav Shimon Ben Yoitzadach, Kederach Sha'omr Le'inin Yisurah, and Kach Amr Le'inin Achsherah. The same dinim that we said as far as the Isser of Temed, that, for example, if the Temed was made from Truma, the first two times it's also for Zorim, and the third time already it's considered water, and so forth with all the other ones, the same dinim that applied to the Isser, Kach Amr Le'inin Hechsherah. The same dinim would apply as far as Hechsher, as far as being Machsher the Kabbal Truma. We know that you need one of the Shiva Mashkin to fall on food in order to make it Mukshal the Kabbal Truma. The same kind of concept would apply over here. That we would say, for example, the first one or two times from dregs of Truma, it would be considered wine. The third time would be considered water. Well, the obvious question is, water and wine are both among the Shiva Mashkin. What's the difference? Which is what the Gemara is going to discuss. Also, by the way, that Rashbam points out, all of this is really only a chumah midrabanan. Midaraisa, we would consider all of them just to be water. That's because the fact is, basically, water that has a little bit of the flavor of wine in it. It's only the rabbanan are machmir on it and say that you have to take ma'aser from it and you have to consider it like truma, etc. So the question is, hechsher and the mai. What do you mean? That's relevant as far as the dinim of hechsher. Either mai achshur to machshur, either chamra achshur to machshur. If you consider it water, if water falls on something, it's machshur at the kabbal truma. If you consider it wine, wine also falls on something, it's machshur at the kabbal truma. You have seven machshurim, and those are two of the seven. There's no difference between water and wine. Yeah. The answer is like tzricha shetimde meg shum. Yes, but the case that we're talking about, the nafkamina, would be what if you made the temed with rainwater? Now, the point is like this. We talked about before, when we talked about the dinim of being machshir the kabbal truma, and we talked about it before earlier in our Masechta, we talked about it in Bat Metzia, we talked about it sporadically here and there, that it needs to have gone onto the thing that has become wet, berotlen. It has to be that you wanted it to get wet. And actually, so now the...
So when you wanted it, I mean...
Well, you could want, for example, you left... No, but for example, there are many cases. For example, you left out fruit intending for it, that you knew that the next time it rains, you want that fruit to get wet. That would be Moksha L'Kabbal Truma. As opposed to, for example, you left it on your roof to dry, and a rainstorm came when you didn't expect it, then it wouldn't be Moksha L'Kabbal Truma. And so with many, we talked about that, and we talked about, there's all kinds of dinim, there's a whole Masechta Machshirin about this, about if the water is detached from the ground, from the pool in the ground or whatever, l'rotzen or shaloi l'rotzen, rain that falls, whether it's l'rotzen or shaloi l'rotzen, yeah, all of that comes into play over here. So like this, meg shomim require machshava, the Rashbam says. On the other hand, if it was wine, it would be machshav without machshava. Well, Tosfos asks on that. I mean, there shouldn't really be a difference. After all, the fact of the matter is, with wine also, if you didn't intend for something to get wet with wine, it wouldn't be Moksha L'Kabbal Truma either. So Tosfos discusses that it still is a little bit different. In order, water, if, for example, rainwater falls, it's not automatically considered a mashke unless you have in mind that you want the thing to become wet or you want to move the water from one place to another or whatever, as opposed to wine is already by default considered a mashke. That's the difference that we're saying over here.
And therefore...
Therefore, like this, the temed was made with meg shamim. So on the face of it, what we're saying is, if it was made with meg shamim, it'll be a difference whether you intended for it to become wet, whether you intended for it to become a mashke. The temed over here that we're talking about over here, if rainwater fell into the barrel over there, it would make a difference whether you intended for it to happen or not. So the question is, the kashok of a romi l'gulamana. Okay, but what are you doing? You're taking the temed, you're pouring it out into another container. So obviously, Ashabinu, at that point, obviously you've shown it's kosher to you. So fine, you didn't know the rainwater was going to fall into the barrel with the shmarim in the first place. What's the difference? Now that you poured it out, now you're machshir. Now you made it kosher. If that temed were to fall onto any food, it would be machshir with a kabbal truma. Again, what's the difference whether it's considered wine or water? The answer is, l'tzricha shenitman me'evon. No, but we're talking about a little bit different. It's not that when we said that it happened with rain means that it happened all by itself. The rain fell in there without you having anything to do with it. You left out the barrel thinking it wasn't going to rain, and then it started raining, for example. Still, the question is, still, what's the difference? The fact is, you're pouring out the first part, you pour out the first one, and then you have intent. And now when you put it out again, it means that you intend for the rain should fall into it the next time and make a second temet and third and so forth.
Even if you didn't expect rain?
Yeah, because once you poured out the first one, once you poured out the second one, obviously you're demonstrating you want it to become wet. You want it. Yeah, yeah. So the answer is Amar Papa, but Parash Shoitza Rishin Rishin. Fine, but what we're talking about over here is suppose that you didn't pour out the first one or the second one. A cow drank it one at a time. So therefore what happened is it rained into the barrel. It made one kennel, and a cow came and drank it. Same thing happened with the second.
Or just a cow.
Okay, a cow, some kind of animal. The point is, in other words, now, you had nothing to do with it. There was no machshava involved. If we say it's considered water, if we say it's considered water, let's say, for example, some of that temed drips off a cow's mouth onto fruit or whatever, is it machshava v'kabel tumah or not? If we consider that it's water, then no, because after all, there was no human involvement over there. If you consider that it's wine, you don't need. Wine is already considered a mashka to begin with without having any specific involvement, and therefore it would be machshava v'kabel tumah. So that would be the difference. And by the way, the Rashbam adds, I mean, why didn't the Gemara just say, why do you have to bring in a cow? Why not just say the first one and the second one spilled out? The reason is because if it immediately spills out, you're not going to know what the second or third temp is. Only when you have it was in the container for some period of time, and then a cow came and drank from it, then you're able to know this was the first temed, this was the second temed. Okay. Yeah. 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 Tomorrow we'll continue with the discussion about what kind of wine you're able to use for kiddush. Mm-hmm.